Books with Aaron, Polly, and Wayne. I'm Aaron.
This is Paul.
And this is Wayne.
Guys, we are living on borrowed time. We said last week that it would be our last time to record in Skype, but we managed to do it to get the band back together one last time.
Yeah, borrowed time as in at least two of us this morning woke up and thought, oh shit, is Skype still work today?
Well, but, it is. It is May the 4th, and it is our very last day with the Skype. Yeah,
because apparently Cinco de Mayo is the last day of Skype-o, so.
No more Skype-o on Cinco de Mayo.
That's sad. It's the end of an era, as we've stated before. I'm going to miss me some Skype. You know, as much as I hated all the frequent and many updates, sometimes multiple times a day, I'm going to miss Skype. But guys,
I'm not.
I kind of like Skype.
I like Skype. I mean,
I've never liked it.
It's simple enough. That's kind of my feeling about Skype.
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of Dancing with the One That Brought You. And, you know, for 15 plus years, we've been a Skype cast. So I'm going to miss it. Who knows?
It's breaking up with you, Aaron. It's not you. It's them.
That's right. It is totally them. Well, I mean, it lasted longer than my first marriage, you know.
Hey, just that's saying. True. Yeah. This podcast has lasted longer than my first marriage.
I think than both of our marriages combined, Paul.
I think you're right. Aaron is a larger part of my life.
That is right.
For funny books. Uh-huh. And Wayne's been around since, I mean, Wayne, how long have you pretty much joined, I think, 2 years in, right?
Yeah, I joined right around the time of Darkest Night?
Blackest Night. I feel like Blackest Night was like a game changer in our podcast. You know, I feel like that's when we found our groove. It's because of Wayne.
I agree. It's totally Wayne.
Of course. Mm-hmm. I make everyone else look energy. Yeah, I make everyone else look better.
It's that ginger and energy we had to have. I mean, we needed a soulless member of the podcast.
Yeah, I'm like that one ugly friend you bring with you to make yourself look better.
No, you bring up I was going the other way. I feel like you're the house that brings up the real estate value in the community.
You are metaphorically on the parade of homes.
Wayne, he's the Poane of homes. Well, this weekend, we are recording. We have a special Sunday recording, which makes no difference to you because it's releasing on Monday. We're recording this on May the 4th. We wanted to give ourselves time to watch this week's new Marvel movie in theaters, as well as catch up on some of those new Free Comic Book Day releases. Free Comic Book Day was yesterday, May 3rd. And guys, before we get into all that, I want you to know that this afternoon, I'm going to a spring football game, a UFL game. You know, that's the league owned by The Rock and his wife. And it is Star Wars Day at the game. I don't know what that means.
You got to take your lightsaber, Paul.
I'm pretty sure I will have to walk back to the car if I bring my lightsaber.
The Rock owns UFL? I knew he was involved with the XFL.
Same. It's the same. It's now the UFL.
Okay.
Well, at least wear your Kylo Ren helmet, Paul.
I don't want to walk back to the car. Once I've parked in the parking garage, I don't want to walk back to my car.
God, Paul, you're so lame.
I know. I'm risk averse, really.
You call yourself a Sith Lord.
But the Sith is secret. Isn't that the point?
Well, I mean, how secret can you be when you got a face like Darth Maul?
Fair. When you look like what's his face, Adam Driver.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I'm just picturing Paul like more like Darth Vader doing the hello peeps.
To be fair, if you slept in the same room as me, you know I do that.
I find your lack of nachos disturbing.
Now I'm picturing Paul in his sleep. Peeps.
Well, I think we all saw Thunderbolts this weekend leading up to this podcast.
Spoilers. It did not disappoint. I got to tell you, I thoroughly enjoyed Thunderbolts. I was really looking forward to this movie, and I thoroughly loved it. I thought it was terrific. It was not the best Marvel movie, don't get me wrong, but it was such a breath of fresh air. Loved this movie.
You know what it did do est was it had the longest after credit scene of any of the Marvel movies.
2 minutes, 54 seconds, something like that.
Damn. All right. Yep. Yeah, it was a significant length. I was like, okay. I mean, it feels like this. Frankly, I feel like they reversed them. And we'll get to the end credit sequences here, because there's two of them. There's a mid and an end credit sequence. And right. I feel like the one after the credits probably should have been the mid credits, and the one in the mid credits should have been the after credits. That's my opinion. But before we get there, we have a whole 2 hours of movie to talk about before that sequence. I feel like this is probably the best Marvel movie since No Way Home. I mean, I know that's not heavy praise, because there's only really been one good one since No Way Home, in my opinion. And that's Captain America, Brave New World, or I think that's Brave New World.
Are you talking about the Red Hulk movie?
Yeah, the Red Hulk movie.
Yeah. While I liked Brave New World, I didn't love Brave New World. I love this movie. I mean, I think that this movie is far and away a better film, both in its production value and definitely in the writing.
Yeah, they certainly, with this movie, knew who the characters were that people would latch on to, and they were the ones that got the screen time. You didn't see much screen time with Ghost. You know, this movie really focuses on Alexi, Red Guardian, and Ilana.
Even though it's 45 minutes before you get him, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing that's amazing is, you know, the Red Guardian is arguably one of the best characters in the film. But they hold him back. But when he is on the screen, things light up. And I don't mean to diminish Florence Pugh's role, because she's fantastic and is a movie star in this movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
I am on record. If you go back and listen to our Black Widow podcast, I said, not real wild about Florence Pugh. But I want to go back and watch Black Widow now. Now, while I enjoyed that movie, I didn't love that movie. But I really warmed up to her character in this film. I recall doing that, warming up to her in Hawkeye. And I'm like, I need to go back and rewatch Black Widow and just see if I've got a better appreciation for it now. I don't know. I recall liking that movie.
I did. See, I mean, it was fine. It wasn't bad.
I remember after the movie thinking the only really good things about it were her and Red Guardian. They stole the movie. And it's really frustrating because at the time, I remember I always wanted a Black Widow movie. Right. They just didn't do it at the right time.
Right.
They waited.
It was COVID and that too.
Well they waited until after they killed the character.
That's right. That's right. Took all the drama out of the film. You know, really, that movie should have come out right before Endgame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did Rachel Weisz, her character, die in that? I don't remember. Like, because I'm like, what about Mom?
I was wondering the same. I thought she lived at the end of that movie.
I thought so too, but you know, there was literally no mention of her in this movie. So I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I think I agree with you guys. I think that the cast of this film, I mean, Florence Pugh definitely far and away the standout of the movie for me. I mean, obviously Red Guardian. I feel like Sebastian Stan did what he does.
I felt like he was an afterthought in this movie.
Yeah. I don't feel like he had much to work with here.
He was also there.
Yeah, he was there. He was also there. With the exception
of the one scene where he's riding the motorcycle and all, getting to be badass.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, he was just kind of an also there.
Yeah, I was disappointed that we didn't get better Sebastian Stan coverage. Because, it's taken me a while, but I've grown to like him as well. But he
relatively lives out of the film. So I do kind of wonder for me if he genuinely was an afterthought, if they wrote the movie and they're like, hold on, no one's going to see this unless we put someone recognizable in
it. It's really weird that if that's the case, because he is literally the only connective tissue to the original Avengers. Right. I mean, you know, he was in, you know, the last set of Avengers movies, and he was in Civil War, and he was in.
Yeah, he was the only one that was in the Infinity Saga of this entire cast, right?
Yeah. So, you know, you would think that he would play a larger role. And I got to tell you, I still have not connected to this, him as elected official.
I don't think he has either.
Yeah, him as a member of Congress is just a weird storyline, which is, yeah, that would be something they'd do in the Marvel comics, but they would give it a little more airtime so it felt real. And the fact that it happens, you know, off screen in A Brave New World and, you know, happens, you know, he's now in it this time, but still not really in it. It was just weird to me. It feels disconnected and surreal.
For me, I will say the one thing this film brought to the table is they introduced the character of Bob Reynolds, Sentry in the Void, mm-hmm. in a way that I actually liked, because I genuinely hate that character in the comic books.
Yeah. I tell you, I was surprised by Bob, because I really liked Bob, and I hate Sentry as a character. Although in the comics, you know, Robert Reynolds isn't really much of a character, and Sentry himself is kind of a flat one-note story. But in the movie, I really enjoyed Bob, and I found myself rooting for, you know, just Bob. Not Sentry, not Void, Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought this is kind of similar to...
Oh, you go first.
Chris Pullman? What's his name? Jeremy Pullman?
Lewis Pullman.
Lewis Pullman, thank you. Nowhere near close on the name. Lewis Pullman, this is the first thing I've ever seen him in that I'm aware of.
Yeah,
oh, no, I saw him in
Top Gun Maverick. Yeah, he was one of the side characters, yeah. Right? It's not like he was one of the main actors.
But he was codenamed Bob.
Yeah, he was. But it was the same guy.
but I really enjoyed him in this role. And I enjoyed the depiction of Sentry. I thought this was a good interpretation. One of the things I struggle with in Marvel movies is that I'm so tied to the comic stories that I frequently get frustrated that they change stuff that I think is meaningful or that there are missed opportunities. Like, for instance, you know, the Thunderbolts isn't named after General Ross, you know, his nickname. It's named after Yelena's, you know, soccer team when she was a kid. You know, you're never going to get Norm Osborn as, you know, the team lead for the Thunderbolts like he did in the books. And I'm just like, oh, man, it's a really missed opportunity. But, of course, they've really not told Harry Osborn stories in the MCU yet. So, you know, it's just missed opportunities that I get disappointed by. But I really liked this. I thought this came together really well, and I thought that it was a nice bait and switch at the end that they're not the Thunderbolts. You know, they are, spoilers, the new Avengers. And I really dug that. But did Julia Louis-Dreyfus's character, the Countess, did any of y'all feel like she was playing a different character in this movie than she was in the prior movies she's been in? She seemed different to me. That they're playing her a lot more for comedy than they have previously.
Yeah, I think they're still evolving. I think they're still trying. Well, obviously, you know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe they're really trying to write the direction of the story here. So I feel like they have perhaps evolved that character a little bit more than she was originally written.
Honestly, I feel like every other appearance she's had, she was a plot device, but here she got to be a character, and that's why she was different. But I do want to point out, in the original comics, he wasn't named after Thunderbolt Ross. Citizen V, Baron Zemo, named them after the Thomas Randall quote, "Justice like lightning."
Oh, I always thought it was named after General Ross's.
I am a huge fan of the original Thunderbolts team.
Right.
Not the ones that they've done in recent years and all of the, you know, government sponsored ones, but the original ones that were the Masters of Evil masquerading as heroes. I loved that book back in the day.
Yeah. The fact that they, you know, were villains masquerading as heroes is sort of a terrific story. And I've been going back and rereading the Norman Osborn era of Thunderbolts recently, and, you know, just love those books.
Yeah, I love that original story of they're villains and then they start to get cheered yeah. and they enjoy it.
Yeah.
And you know, some of them kind of start turning and.
Well, and you get some of that in the movie, right? You know, they get cheered in the movie and it's like, huh. Yeah. Not that they were villains, but they weren't heroes. And, you know, and it does a turn on them.
Yeah. It's, you know, when they're cheered at the end, I'm like, you know, it wasn't that long ago that U.S. agent murdered a guy on national television.
That's right. That's right.
No, Captain America did. This is U.S. agent.
A totally different guy. This guy has a beard because I don't think he had a beard in the.
No, he didn't. He had a goofy face.
That's great.
But with big old ears.
You know, so I was watching this movie. I was reminded of the story Siege. And now this is obviously very different than Siege, though it borrows some elements of it, including the fact that at the end of the movie, you know, the new Avengers are named, and that's kind of how Siege ended, right? Siege ended with the Heroic Age, which was the start of the new Avengers, and the, you know, the Norman Osborn kind of takeover of the Marvel Universe, I think. No, Norman Osborn was leading up to Siege. That was
Was the end of Norman Osborn.
Correct. Yeah, correct. Yep. And it brought into the Heroic. Now, what I found interesting is, in the movie, Valeria's agency was called Ox Corp or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, was the original plan Oscorp maybe? And it fell through, you know, because obviously we haven't seen Norman Osborn in the MCU yet. You know, is it a rights thing? And they're just like, just use Ox Corp. Like, no. It's close enough. Change the S to an X. Control, you know, find all.
I feel like, you know, now while Brave New World made money, right, it was not a critical success. And I can't help but wonder if, you know, they're not sitting, the makers and actors in Brave New World aren't sitting back going, why didn't we have that writer? You know, because this movie hums. This movie feels like a return to form. You know, the script works, the humor works, you know, it is immensely entertaining. I would have to be super frustrated, you know, having been a part of Brave New World and seeing how good Thunderbolts is with a less than movie star cast.
Yeah. The question is now, how much money will it make? Because I can tell you, when I went to get my tickets, I want to compare it to a month ago. I saw the Minecraft movie.
Mm-hmm.
Minecraft movie, I was having to go to different theaters and struggle to find tickets on opening weekend.
Really?
I had no problem doing that with Thunderbolts.
I agree. I bought my tickets the week of, and I believe I was the first ticket sold in the showing that I saw.
I will say my showing was busy. It was not sold out. But I feel like the only sold out movie I've been to at my local theater. Now, obviously I've recently moved. And I've been to a number of movies at that theater. I feel like the only movie that I've seen that's actually been sold out in that theater was Sinners on opening night.
Yeah.
You know, Marvel movies also tend to do really well on the Thursday night release.
Yeah.
You know, because people want to see them before spoilers are out. So I don't know. You know, I mean, I think it'll be number one for the weekend. I think it has a lot of competition. Sinners is still tearing up the charts. Accountant 2 is doing well. Minecraft is out there, but I think it's released early enough in the summer that it should do well. I think it'll do better than Captain America, I think
it's getting a lot of positive word of mouth.
Yeah.
You know, and the tomatometer on Rotten Tomatoes, you know, rated it high. So I think that there is every reason to believe it'll have some staying power. You know, that it'll make its money. It's just how much money it's going to make.
Yeah, tomatometer. Right? I've always just said tomato meter.
No, it's tomatometer, Paul.
Aaron, classing the joints up with the tomatometer.
Yeah, I've always been saying the same way you have, Paul, but I think Aaron's right.
I think Aaron should be right if he's not.
Yeah. No, I hope it does well. I have a feeling, though, it won't do nearly what they want it to. I think maybe word of mouth is hopefully going to be good, and it'll make its money in the long run. But it's not going to have the open they want it to, I don't think.
I tell you what, I felt something that I haven't felt in a long time seeing a Marvel movie, which was after I finished watching it, I immediately wanted to watch it again. And, you know, it's only by fact of how busy my weekend is that I didn't do that. I'm just like, God, I wish I could stream that already. you know, I really want to see it again.
Yeah, I have to say, I was going and watching it. I couldn't have imagined not being upset about the death of Taskmaster, but Taskmaster was done so poorly in the MCU that I honestly put the character out of my misery.
Yeah, I'm hoping there's another Taskmaster that perhaps they make a little bit more comic accurate.
Yeah.
Because I feel that level of disappointment that I felt in the Iron Man movies about
the Mandarin. God,
yes, thank you. Yeah, I, you know, the Mandarin was never depicted as I wanted to see him. And then you started getting hints that maybe you were going to get it in the Shang-Chi films. And I'm still hopeful on that. I would love to see a real Taskmaster.
Yeah, I agree. Because, yeah, this was not really a well done. And what's crazy to me is they got the same actress.
Yeah.
To play the Taskmaster for the five seconds she's in the movie. Spoilers. I mean, I'm not spoiling much.
You knew that from the previews. For
They could have kept her helmet closed and it would have made no difference.
Right. Yeah, exactly. They could have kept her helmet open and no that's the difference. I mean, come on. Let's be honest. Especially because half of her face is like burned or something. But yeah, you know, Thunderbolt's super strong entry. I genuinely enjoyed the story. I think it did things with characters. You know, we talked a little bit about this in a previous episode of this podcast. This is not a cast of characters that I would actually pick up in a comic book. Like if they had a comic book that featured Red Guardian, White Widow, or I don't think she's really even assumed a specific name anymore, Bucky, US Agent, and Ghost, I'd be like, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know, same. But in the movie form, the good thing is they've cast such strong actors in these roles. I'm actually a fan other than Ghost, and I'm just not as familiar with her, but I thought she was great in the movie. Mm-hmm. But all the actors in this movie, I genuinely like.
I do too. And, you know, it helps that Florence Pugh and David Harbour really bring the level of the film up. I hope that somebody sits back at Marvel and goes, okay, we've got some stars here. We got to really do stuff with Florence Pugh and David Harbour because they're fantastic. And David Harbour's really having a moment.
Yeah.
And I hope that Marvel doubles down with him.
Yeah, and he looked so great in the mid-credit scene.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't recognize him at first because he suddenly looks like he's in perfect shape.
Well, he's not been door dashing as much. So.
Yeah.
Well, and he's gotten in shape in real life, too, and I think that's part of it. You know, obviously timing. I think those post-credit sequences are generally filmed later. The final post-credit sequence wasn't even filmed by the same director.
It was filmed by the Russos.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah, and it was like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's how recent that was. Crazy to me that this stuff is still being worked on that close to screening.
So I'm not sure what your theaters had, but speaking of that mid-credit scene, walking into the theater, I look over and there's a giant Wheaties box with Thunderbolts on it. In the theater. And I'm
that
like,
was cute.
That it amused me, but I didn't have reference for it yet.
Right.
Yeah. Now, Thunderbolt, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of heart, which I think is something that's been missing.
Absolutely.
It's got a story. It's got good characters. It's got good acting.
Post-credit scene did not let me down. A lot of post-credit scenes are just kind of throwaways. This one being
for stuff
the longest.
That's never going to happen. That's what I find irritating is, you know. You get a promise for Howard the Duck, then you don't really get any meaningful Howard the Duck.
Not until What If, at least. Yeah. But this one, it gave us character.
Uh-huh.
We had character moments. It was genuinely funny. Like, my wife had it at the bathroom, so she missed it. I described it to her in the car, and she was laughing at the description of it. And to end it on the teaser of Fantastic Four coming in, that part is what you... Like, normally you'd get the... Oh, there's something in space, and they show the teaser.
Right.
But we got real character moments and progression of the characters in this, and then we got that little teaser.
Yeah, it makes me wonder how Fantastic Four will end. As you know, obviously, you know, again, Thunderbolt is spoilers on. You know, Thunderbolts, the post-credit sequence, show, you know, they mention a multi-dimensional ship entering, you know, their dimension. It's revealed to be the Fantastic Four ship. You know, I guess my question is. Obviously, Fantastic Four have to escape their their universe.
Their doomed universe.
Their doomed universe. Yeah, uh-huh. You know, at some point in the movie, is that a post-credit sequence? Will we see this scene, you know, from their point of view in Fantastic Four? Will we see them interact? Or, you know, is the, all that stuff waiting for Avengers Doomsday?
I think that the very end of Fantastic Four will cue up the Avengers film, and you'll have just a post-credits cameo of the Thunderbolts and the Avengers.
Or Doctor Doom. Or
both. Well, and I mean, I feel like Doctor Doom's coming through with them, you know? That wouldn't surprise me. But yeah, I don't think you'll see any, like, you know, real-time MCU activity until either the very end of the film or the end credits.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I think you're going to spend most of your time with, you know, in the 60s with the Silver Surfer and Galactus.
I agree. I think that's the main story of the film. I guess the question is,
I can't wait, by the way. I can't wait.
Well, you have to wait, Aaron. It's 3 months away.
I don't want to wait.
They haven't finished filming it. You have to wait until at least July 24th to ensure they finished filming the final scene.
That's right. Lord. Yeah, it's crazy to me that the Russos shot that 3 weeks ago. That is crazy.
Yeah.
So. I also really enjoyed from that, because again, a lot of things came out of that post-credit scene. I loved the conversation about Sam Wilson has finally put together his Avengers. And if they're the Avengers and we're the Avengers, which one's the real Avengers? Well, if you listen to social media, it's not us.
New Avengers with a Z.
Yeah. I loved all that, but we actually got – so we got teasers for what's going to happen in the Marvel Universe. We got the Fantastic Four cameo. That scene was just simply more effective than anything they've done post-credits since Phase 1, I think.
Well, and to be honest, that, you know, end credit scene was really better than most of the Marvel movies we've had over the last several years. That 2 minutes, 54 seconds, better than the 2+ hours of most other Marvel films over the last couple of years. Just saying.
Fair.
Yeah.
Certainly better than Eternals.
Or Wakanda Forever.
Yeah.
I don't even remember the post-credit scene. I don't remember the movie.
No, I'm talking the better than the movie.
Same. Because Wakanda Forever felt like forever. Oh, my God, what a terrible movie. And Eternals was eternally long. Oof.
we could say that because Andrew's not on the podcast.
That's right, because, God, then we get into a whole thing.
Yeah, that's actually kind of sad for me with Andrew not being the podcast, because I went into a physical comic book store for Free Comic Book Day yesterday.
That's crazy.
I did, and too.
What kind of animal does that?
Well, on one of the shelves was a whole, just a ton of the Eternals action figures. And somebody pointed it out, and the guy's like, yeah, we bought those trying to get into toys, and nobody has ever bought an Eternals action figure. That movie was terrible. And then everyone in the store starts this conversation about how horrible the Eternals movie was.
Oh, it's a bad
movie. So it's like, where is Andrew right now so I can point out to him that this entire comic book store thought that that movie was as terrible as I think it is.
Well, and you know what's funny? I'm pretty sure that the only reason Wayne and myself, Andrew goes to comic stores on the regular. But Wayne, you'd have to tell me, the only reason I went to Free Comic Book Day in the comic book store is because the Energon Universe special last year, Image sent it to us. Sent us a review copy. This year they didn't. And I'm like, damn it. I have to go to the comic book store because it's not available digitally. The only Free Comic Book Day book that was released digitally on Free Comic Book Day was the DC one. Which was kind of weird. I see the Conan one will be released next week. But yeah, Marvel didn't release any of their stuff digitally. It was only DC. But yeah, I went specifically to get the Energon one. But I had Jen with me, and we were able to get three each. So I got, you know, I got the two Marvel ones.
You made Jen go in and
I did, and she stuff. Was she's like, I'll wait for you in the car. And I'm like, the hell you will.
I actually went to two different stores to get all the books I wanted, because, and that's I haven't been into a single comic book store in years, but went to two in one day. Also kind of wanted to see what they were doing.
Yeah. The one I went to was a place called Comic City. And they had a line. So basically they were organizing everyone to a table in the back And so you had to get in the line to go to the table in the back and get your comics, and you could pick three. And if you wanted more than three, it was a dollar for every two. So basically 50 cents a book. But because I had Jen, we just got six books. So I was able to get six for free, but I got the ones I wanted. So I was happy about that. And I'm glad because the Energon Universe book, and this is where Aaron glazes over. the Energon Universe book felt like literally the next issue of G.I. Joe to me. And I'm like, yeah, oh, okay, this feels like mandatory reading.
I came in expecting it to be a story about the whole universe, and instead it is nothing happened. It is, you know, I enjoyed it. I loved it. It felt like it was exactly what happens next in G.I. Joe, because it starts after the last panel of it. But it wasn't one of those, like, in the past, they've done ones where the things that happened in it were big universe-changing things. That wasn't the case. This was a character building.
Yeah, and this was very much like a normal Free Comic Day book. And what I mean by that is this had previews of all the different books instead of, you know, like one story that ties it all together like the previous ones. Now, I'm not complaining about it. Let me clarify. I think the strong part of this book was the first story, the G.I. Joe story. The other two were a little bit more the middle one, the Transformers one, was a little bit of a throwaway for me.
Yeah, and I did not like that artwork.
No, it was Jazz discovering Jazz, basically. And then the final one, the Void Rivals one, was a preview of an upcoming Quintesson War, which I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
But yeah, the first story was really the big one, which is, again, it's the next scene on from the previous issue of G.I. Joe.
So also from Skybound for Free Comic Book Day, I was really surprised I picked up Transformers Worst Bot Ever, which it's a special of, they have a whole line of kids books that are coming out, kids and like young adult. And Worst Bot Ever was one of those just funny little kids books. I would not have paid for it, but didn't mind reading it. What surprised me was their backup feature is a book that I plan on getting now. It's called Family Force V. And the concept is basically that there's a Power Rangers type team, but then the alien invasions start happening all over the planet. So the team breaks up, spreads around the world, and creates franchises of Power Rangers type teams. They're called the Moon Troopers. But it is a family legacy for them. So they all go form families, and their families become the teams. And this book is about one of those teenagers who is now brought into the team. I absolutely loved it, and I would have never known about it if I hadn't gone in just to get the, you know, Transformers books. So I will be buying issue one when it comes out of this, even though it's for young readers.
What's the name of the book?
Family Force V.
Family Force V. Interesting. Like five?
I'm guessing that's what it's going to be mean, but.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, so I enjoyed the Energon book. I read four of the books that I picked up. I did not care for either of the Marvel books.
Yeah, that Fantastic Four story was, honestly, it really fell flat for me.
Yeah, and it had Umberto Ramos art, so I know you were struggling.
That too. So I will say the backup of that, I will be buying some of this X-Men stuff. I
did not even read the X-Men one because I was like, I'm out on X-Men anyway, so.
Okay, so the backup story starts off right before the original supersized X-Men, number one, where this is the new team of X-Men. Nightcrawler, Warpath, Storm, Colossus, Wolverine, Banshee, and Cyclops is basically introducing himself to them. What I didn't like was they try to make Cyclops a badass. He has this whole team of people that are untrained, and he immediately takes them all on and defeats them all. And I don't see him easily defeating a Wolverine, where even if you can say these others haven't fought, Wolverine was already on Alpha Flight. He already is, you know, he is not a rookie like some of the others. Mm-hmm. So all of that I disliked. But what got me to, though, was right after that, Cyclops is talking to someone off panel who says, you know, what happens next is one of the best stories ever told. Now give me a second to get myself ready, because if I'm going to save the entirety of mutant history, I'm Ms. Marvel has got to wear an X. So Ms. Marvel, the epitome of the Marvel fangirl, is going to be traveling through all of the X-Men history in a series of one-shots, fangirling out during all of the major events of X-Men history. I'm kind of there for that. That sounds like a fun story.
You'll have to let me know how it is.
Yeah, the Spider-Man story was terrible as well. I did enjoy, however, the Ultimate story.
I thought it was fine. I thought, like, if I read it, great. If I didn't
was
read
that
it,
the
great.
Ultimate Spider-Man book?
No, the yeah. Spider-Man book wasn't the Ultimate one, but it was leading up to Spider-Man Ultimate Incursion. There is a Ultimate story with, like, well, it's not really Ultimate. It basically, Miles Morales is, he was approached by Maker before the Ultimate stuff happened.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And now the card that the Maker gave him glows around his younger brother or sister or whatever, because I'm not reading that book.
Yeah, it's basically a setup for Ultimate Incursion, which is Miles Morales, you know, being transferred into, I don't know if it's a permanent thing or what.
Yeah, I got my stories mixed up from it. The one I did like was actually DC, and it was the Mirror Master story.
I agree. I thought the Mirror Master story was really interesting, where he's touring through the Absolute universe.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got my Ultimate and my Absolute mixed up for a minute.
And that was the backup feature to the Superman Free Comic Book Day book, which I can't stand. I
was wondering what you thought of that.
Oh, my God. It's the first bit of Dan Slott writing this, the new Superman. It was rough. Number one, the artwork was hideous.
I will say the artwork I found very bad. And Raphael Albuquerque, I generally like.
They keep pimping that cover across social media, and that cover is terrible.
I really struggle with the way he draws. I mean, the way he draws Superman. You know, like, I'm like, well, first of all, Clark Kent looks genuinely terrible.
Looks like an idiot. Yeah.
Yeah. And Superman just doesn't look super to me. I don't know. Like, the art I really struggled with. Yeah.
Go ahead, Ryan.
I enjoyed the two pages of him just rescuing people because I always like seeing that, even though I don't like the artwork of it this time.
Right.
But I am so sick of kryptonite asteroids and things. Going back to that well for a story, I was not happy with that at all.
Well, and we get a lot of creative team turnover in Superman. Mm-hmm. And it seems like every time the creative teams turn over, they want to reinvent Superman. And I appreciate that they're not changing the costume or anything like that, but they are, you know, changing things up in the background. And something that I've noticed for a while now, and it's irritated me, is that Clark is not recognized for the professional that he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's just like kind of a, you know, he's a reporter, but, you know, he doesn't really have a career. He's not recognized as a performer in his career. He's not a standout personality. Whereas, you know, in the era of 90s Superman books, you know, Clark was not just a fantastic, stellar reporter. He was also a published author. And I miss that. I miss that, you know, he was recognized as a talent, as a reporter, as a writer, as a journalist, you know, and he was an investigative reporter and he was busting stories while he's out there busting crime. I just really hate that he's just kind of regarded as this big nothing. And I feel like the point of that is to demonstrate that he's a superhero and his wife is a super reporter, right? You know, but I hate that, you know, one of the things that I have always enjoyed about Clark since those 80s and 90s stories was that he, you know, Superman was good being a hero and he was good at being human. And I like that about the character, and I feel like we don't get that anymore. And then the thing that annoys me is that we're going to keep resetting the Daily Planet because nobody can figure out how to make newspaper stories work in this day and age. And so, you know, now we've got sort of an Amazon buys the Washington Post sort of story going on, where we've got, you know, Morgan Edge's ex-wife running the Daily Planet and using the Daily Planet as sort of its moral center to its media empire. And I just freaking hate it. I'm sorry. It really goes all over me. I wish that they would look at stories that are currently being told and build continuity on that. And whether things were done that you liked or didn't like, you build on that history versus just resetting every damn time you want. And we used to have decades of continuity that you got to work within. And now it's like 5 years if you're lucky. I just hate it. I hate it. I hate it. And I can tell you I'm not going to like this Dan Slott run. I'm going to give it a try. But the Free Comic Book Day issue was not a good indication of the quality of story we're going to get. Reminds me a little bit of Bendis.
Yeah. It's sad because I want to like it.
Same.
I want to like his take, but
I think Dan Slott brings a great perspective to Superman. I just don't think this is the perspective I am at all interested in. Yeah. But I did enjoy that Mirror Master tie-in at the bottom for the Absolute books. I thought that was really interesting. I enjoyed the perspective of all the different characters and what's going on, and you know, his version of the chalkboard tying events together. I was interested.
I like him meeting himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's you know, it's interesting because much like the Ultimate Universe one from Marvel, it's about the two universes converging. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, the two comic companies are doing the same crossover.
It seems too early for that, for the Absolute books.
It does. I feel like it needed another year.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I mean, it says it's not even happening until summer. So I guess we still got a few months. But yeah, it does feel like we need more room to breathe before we have such a large crossover.
You haven't even had the Absolute characters meet each other yet.
Yeah. Right? What happened to Absolute Justice League, you know,
need that. Yeah, well, and I wonder if that's not going to be the impetus to form a Justice League, is having those universes cross over. But I would rather them come together on their own versus, you know, hitting the DCU and, you know, having that be the cause for connection. I just kind of wish that the universes would stand apart and you bring them together when your sales need it. Right now they're doing great. They don't need this tie-in.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I agree. But you know, it's still Free Comic Book Day. It's free comics, even though I didn't necessarily find any of them gangbusters. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always a free comics.
It's free comics.
You can't complain. Free
comics. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Conan book on Wednesday.
Well, and for me it was successful in the aspect of I found a book that I'm going to buy that I wouldn't have otherwise.
And it got you into a comic book shop.
It did. And I bought other things.
Good for you, Wayne.
I bought my wife a bunch of Pokemon stuff.
There you go.
So it was effective and it made money for those comic book stores.
I did not venture to a brick and mortar store this weekend.
Aaron was not willing to compromise his
my integrity. Values. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I have moved to an area that has three comic book shops fairly close to me. And
maybe next year.
Have not yet visited a single one of them. Mm-hmm. Just saying. And it's not because I'm morally opposed to it. I just, you know, who's got the time? Got the time, Paul?
Nobody.
Yeah. Hey, Paul.
Yes, sir.
What's coming out next week?
Well, from next week from DC Comics, speaking of the Absolute Universe, we have two more Absolute books. We've got the seventh issue of Absolute Superman, which is the start of the second arc of that book. And we also have the second issue of Absolute Green Lantern. I guess I need to read issue one to find out if I'm reading issue two. But the big release next week is the crossover that you demanded, Space Ghost Johnny Quest, Space Quest issue one.
I'm totally there for it, by the way.
Yeah, I'm totally on board.
Hot for that book. I loves me some Johnny Quest. I loves me some Space Ghost.
I hope I don't have to have read what's going on in their other books In order to catch up here, because I haven't been reading their other books. But I will say there is a looking at. I'm actually just going to go ahead and buy it now while we're talking about it. Johnny Quest issue zero, which I guess maybe was a free comic book day book, is I don't know if it was this year or last year, is free on Comixology. So I went ahead and picked that up just to see. Maybe it's good. But yeah, John, Space Quest issue one next week. Definitely we'll be picking that up.
Very exciting. Well, hey, we want to know what you thought about your free comic book day books. What did you think about Thunderbolts? What's got you excited at the theaters this summer? Give us a shout at ideologyofmadness@gmail.com. And if we use your comments on the show, you could win a coveted, valuable Ideology of Madness surprise.
You can also hit us up on social media, IOM Geek on Facebook, Instagram, or X.
Well, guys, sometime between now and the next time we record, we will have solved the riddle of how we will record this show. And, guys, keep an eye out for your mailbox. I'm sending you all CB radios.
Okay, we got this.
Breaker 19, this here's the IOM Geek. I'm looking for a break.
I'm going to send out a paper, toilet paper rolls, empty toilet paper rolls, and a string.
So you're saying next episode will be the next funnies? In 2026.
That's right. Give or take.
That's right. All right, boys. We'll do it again next week, hopefully.
Catch you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Podcast theme music graciously provided by Mark Andrew Pope. For more information, visit markandrewpope.com. Funny Books with Aaron and Polly is a production of ideologyofmadness.com. No Spider-Man clones were harmed in the production of this podcast.